Welcome, crazy hooligans, to Cinema Spill, where I, your host, Humphrey Burns, will help you dive into the world of movies and explore different aspects of them and why and how they've impacted our society at large, along with ratings, reviews, and rankings, while having some fun and some interesting trivia that you may want to share with your friends, if you so feel so inclined. Full disclaimer for this podcast, I do not claim credit for these shared facts as my own. The rankings, reviews, and ratings shared on this podcast are my own opinion. I hope you enjoy. Hey folks, I hope y'all are doing well. So, we are going to be continuing our venture into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we're almost to the end. We've got, we've got this one, Doctor Sleep, that's a different franchise. Doctor Strange, sorry. Thor Ragnarok, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Endgame, and Spider-Man Far From Home. So we're coming to the end, not quite too far along, but we're getting there. And thank you guys so much for listening and bearing with me covering this large franchise of 23 movies. So I even sometimes forget that I've got done this many. The fact that 23 movies in one franchise and even so much more of all these other episodes of my podcast for over a year now. And it's been really, really fun to just dive in and look at movies with semi-fresh eyes, considering that I've seen the Marvel movies so many times. It's so funny. I was actually on a date a while back, and we were talking about Marvel movies, and I couldn't figure out what was our favorite. It was so hard. And we couldn't even decide which was our favorite character. I mean, like, it'd be so cool if I bring her on, but it's just so fun to talk to her about that. And we were so, it's just, realizing, yeah, this franchise is so big. And this is just the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Spider-Man. And, just so you know, I'm not going to do a ranking of Spider-Man movies with, like, I'll do a ranking episode of the Sam Raimi, Tom McGuire movies. But, as far as, like, ranking all of the Spider-Man, you know, Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, and Tom McGuire, and also Miles Morales in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. But yeah, I'm not going to rank those because, like, you know, they're different franchises. They're the same character, but different franchises, different times. So it's not the same because they're not the same series. They're the same characters, not the same series. If that makes sense. So yeah, that's what we're dealing with here. So with this movie, Spider-Man Homecoming, really good revitalization of the franchise after being dormant for, it had only been 3 years because of Amazing Spider-Man with Tom McGuire in 2014, if I remember correctly. Let me see here. Let's see. 2014 or 2015? Yeah, 2014. So it had been 3 years since the last one, and it's almost disheartening to realize that they do that, and realizing that they have to do this, where they can't decide on anything, because it does well for a little while, you know, for as well long as it does, and then it just dies. But this has been a very good step for, Tom Holland and his Spider-Man. I honestly fits the character better than the other ones. In regards that it follows the comic books because he's a younger actor, younger character. It's so funny though. He's like in his late teens, early 20s when he filmed this one, and he's portraying these 15-16 year old. So yeah, but
I've said this multiple times. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but I've said it to multiple people sometimes, where I've said that as the years progressed, the Spider-Man have gotten better, the villains gotten worse. And that's very, very true. Even its own franchise, like with the Sam Raimi trilogy, even with that, there's a big difference between Green Goblin and Sandman, Venom, and New Goblin. You know, New Goblin doesn't actually become a villain, but you know what I mean. So even just from then, that transition in 5 years, between the first one in 2002 and the third one in 2007. But it's the way it is. And I guess that's just the way a lot of franchises turn out, is because they run out of ideas, and they run out of steam, because they hit hard at first and then they just kind of die off. But as a Marvel Cinematic Universe in general, these 23 movies, soon to be 24, it's very different in regard that they've gotten better and better. They've had dips, you know, but they always redeem themselves. I'm looking at you, Dark World. Anyway, and you're going to ask me what movie I could watch over and over without getting bored of it. It would have to be Endgame. So when we get into that one, I will be going so deep into that one and every living detail of that movie. You know, it has 3 hours of content. Like, expect me to just dig into that and seeing what's there. Yeah. Anyway, so with the Spider-Man movie, I'm glad that they didn't do a complete, back to basics origin story, because at this point we've heard the origin story over and over. We know how the origin story goes. And I realized that, some people might have been expecting it, but a lot of us who've seen Spider-Man, you know, the progression of Spider-Man for so long, are kind of glad they didn't do that. Of course, they took their own reins on it and took their own ideas of what to do with it. But it's what is. And I'm glad they did that. And the fact that Tony Stark ends up being a Ben Parker / father figure to him in this one. And it really is really different in the regard that, you know, this billionaire playboy has been influenced by children a lot up to this point. The example that comes to mind is Harley Hurley in Iron Man 3 in 2013. And I think that really struck a chord with him and made him realize that he wanted kids, or at least wanted to be associated with kids. Of course, he has very, very, you know, sarcastic humor around him and whatnot. But it's good to see him progress. So not only the progression of Spider-Man from, a follow-up to his origin that we are kind of that's kind of hinted throughout this movie, but also see the progression of Tony Stark as little as we see him. And it's very, very refreshing. I have to say, a really refreshing look, and a lot more comical than other Spider-Man movies out there. And really makes it a lot more fun. And I think part of it is because this is also the same year, in 2017, same year as Thor Ragnarok. And where the Marvel Cinematic Universe at this time had changed forever. And where, you know, they used to just stick to the, you know, nitty-gritty origin story. This is what they have, blah, blah, blah. But at this point, they were able to be a lot more relaxed, a little bit more themselves, and a lot more relatable. And I think it's because part of it is that their fan base has gotten younger, that that's why they needed to change things up. Because honestly, I think that even when I was first exposed to the MCU, specifically with in Phase 2, I was still pretty young, but I was also still young to the series, and so it was very different than other parts of the series. And the fact that it would be more well-rounded, that's what I like about these kind of movies, especially Endgame, is it would be a lot more well-rounded, and it makes it a lot more enjoyable experience and keeps you on your toes. And also, this movie really does bring home, like, the real humor of Spider-Man and who Spider-Man really is. But also having a real conflict of, you know, being a normal kid, being a student, and, you know, wanting to date people, you know, make friends, keep friends, but also being Spider-Man. And it's a very, very great film. And after all, we got 92% of Rotten Tomatoes. That's really cool. I really enjoyed this movie, for a lot of reasons, and I hope you do too. If you haven't seen this one, go see it, or any other way you can, whether it be, I think for a lot of people it would be Disney+. But, you know, it's a very good attempt at the story. It's a little different in the regard that, you know, if you're just jumping into it and you don't know that much about it, about Spider-Man and how he works and everything, you'd be a little lost. And especially if you're watching the whole franchise of the MCU, a little bit more lost considering that it corresponds with Captain America Civil War. And real quick, before we go into break, with this movie, I have to admit, I really like how they're able to incorporate this right into the timeline. And the timeline is quite interesting how they fit this in. And I'll explain this with my next episode with Doctor Strange. But with this movie, this follows, like, opening scenes, after all, start right with Civil War. But then the main bulk of the movie takes place 2 months later. So it makes perfect sense to have Civil War and then Black Panther, which takes place a week later, and then Spider-Man Homecoming, and we have happening 2 months later. So, and then Doctor Strange is kind of hard to, like, it's easy to pinpoint exactly where it is in the timeline. It's hard to pinpoint where you want to watch it, but I think the thing that really fits is the end. But we'll get to that eventually. Anyway, so we're gonna go on a quick break, and see you in a second. And you listen to Simmonsville. I'm your host, Humphrey Burns. And we've been talking about Spider-Man Homecoming, released in 2017. Welcome back to Cinema Spill. I'm your host, Humphrey Burns, and we're going over some trivia and some fun facts from IMDb of this movie. Just a little bit here for Spider-Man Homecoming, released in 2017. And that said, the first one's kind of fun. It's 4 years earlier, at the time of Dark World and Iron Man 3. So, while promoting his upcoming film, How I Live Now, Tom Holland was asked by a reporter what kind of role he might want to try next. When Holland replied, saying a project with action and humor would be interesting to him, the reporter asked if he would ever like to play a superhero, maybe Spider-Man, in 10 years' time. He answered Holland, "A reboot of the reboot if they do it." Sure enough, you know what? 2016, 3 years later, Spider-Man in Civil War. There you go. So, I had actually mentioned this in my Civil War episode. I mentioned this one, not Civil War, First Avenger episode. So the first episode we did about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Kenneth Choi, who plays Principal Morita, also played the Howling Commando Jim Morita in Captain America the First Avenger 2011. In the principal's office, you can see photos of the Howling Commando, which hints that they are related, and he is his grandson, which has been confirmed. Aaron Davis mentions he has a nephew. In the comics, Aaron Davis is the Ultimate Marvel Universe version of the villain Prowler, whose nephew is Miles Morales, aka the second Ultimate Spider-Man, which is so cool. It wasn't until a little bit later in the series that it was like, I think it was the second or third time ago that I seen this movie, I noticed that, because at this point I'd seen Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse, which follows Miles Morales. And it dawned on me, like, wait a second. You know, this guy playing Aaron Davis, Miles Morales, all that stuff is right here in this movie. And I was like, they're connected. And I was so surprised by that. I'm like, really? They're going to bring that into this? And I don't know if they're actually going to. But how cool would it be if they put Miles Morales in this Tom Holland universe? Not as the second Spider-Man, but like in that same vein. How cool would that be? So Donald Glover, that's what I was thinking. Donald Glover, also known as Childish Gambino, so that's really, really cool. I'm glad he went to acting. And I just take a second and just make you realize how many villains there are in this movie. You know, they're not very specifically, you know, mentioned by name, but there's actually quite a few in this movie. Either hinted at, or if you read the comics, you know who they are. So obviously we had the Vulture, played by Thomas Toomes, played by Michael Keaton. And then we have the Tinkerer, who's the chubbier bearded guy, henchman kind of guy. Then we also got the Shocker, who's obviously mentioned by name. And we also had the Prowler. Of course, Aaron Davis at this point, he's kind of mentioned, but you know what I mean? He's considered as the Prowler. And then Scorpion. You also have Scorpion in this movie as well. And some could argue Flash Thompson depends on who you ask, Venom. Obviously, this is not the same universe, considering that Venom that was released not too long ago is in the same universe as this one. It was trying to make them connected, but in the comics, it's Flash Thompson who becomes Venom. So, there's a few. It's very, very muddled, and so it's kind of like, it's that uncertainty in that, like, you know, they don't actually say the names out loud, and you don't see their iconic costumes, any of that stuff. That makes me think that the villains have decreased so, so much in the last 10 years or so. Almost 20 years. Holy cow. Anyway, so Jennifer Connelly voices the Spider-Man computer Karen. Her husband, Paul Bettany, his voice Iron Man computer Jarvis. She's also cast because of her appearance in John Hughes' produced career opportunities in 1991. Homecoming pays homage to Hughes' high school films, and casting Connelly was done as a tribute to his career. Connelly was also previously cast as Betty Ross in Hulk in 2003. So, not the Incredible Hulk, but the Hulk in 2003, with the baby face Hulk. which is very cool to have that connection with the different things. And also, I didn't know that about Paul Bettany, so that's really cool. The thing is, the Homecoming is like, why do they call it Homecoming? And I mean, after the fact that they're naming all of the Tom Holland ones with the subtitle of a home, you know, reference, Homecoming, Far From Home. And I don't remember what the other one is. It's gonna be, apparently it's coming out this year. Oh, come on. Oh, No Way Home. That's what it's called. No Way Home. And I'm really interested how that's going to work. There's the speculation that it's a live action multiverse movie. Some say it's other things. You know, there's going to be like Daredevil. So they're incorporating that into this. So there's a lot of chances for this movie to like, for that movie to crash and burn. Some to make it better. I don't know. Don't try too much. There's some series that just try way too much. And I'm sorry. If they try to cram too much into one movie, it just doesn't work. I.e. Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man 2. So, I don't know. They're trying. Tom Holland spent a few days attending classes in the Bronx High School of Science in New York City to prepare his role as Peter Parker. He used his acting coach's name as an alias. Spider-Man never punches any of the villains he fights. He uses his webs, his counters his enemies' punches, which causes them to punch each other. He even kicks them, but he never punches them. The cast had to watch a John Hughes movie marathon to prepare. The movie at first and foremost a coming-of-age tale, so John Watts turned to the master of such stories, John Hughes. He gave us a lot of movies to watch, Tom Holland said during an interview with Pop Sugar UK. There are so many movies. We basically all sat down in my house in Atlanta, all the cast, and we just watched all in one day and just had like a Domino's day. It was amazing. Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Pretty in Pink, and there's loads of them. All of them are classic movies. I hope to cover those soon. Prior to its release, its movie saw the debut of numerous pitch-perfect posters celebrating Spidey's first film as set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Of them, the image featuring the hero leisurely lying next to a body of water wearing his high school academic decathlon blazer with a pair of headphones on stood out. As it turned out, the pose wasn't conceived by the genius marketer. It was a picture of Tom Holland taken when he was entirely unaware. And in an interview during a press junket in Mexico City, Holland explained the poster was a picture snapped while he was napping on set. "That is actually me asleep," Holland said. "That's not part of the movie, but to me, in between takes, asleep. We were shooting this scene, and I was just really tired that day, and I was just asleep on the floor, and the photographer took a picture. So when they made that poster, I was like, what? What the heck, guys?" That's funny. But, like, it's very... And also, it looks very off-putting at first. Like, it really does. It provides a different view of Spider-Man. So we're so used to the Spider-Man with, like, the really cool poses and whatnot. But then to see him with this very relaxed pose and just, you know, like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here, lay here, blah, blah, blah. But actually makes that really an iconic poster. And I really like it. It's really cool that they're able to do that. Really provides a really, really relatable character. So not just that stereotypical, you know, this is how the character is, this is how he acts, blah, blah, blah. But really, there's a different side to him. It's not just the superhero side. Peter's homemade Spider-Man costume, which is very similar to Ben Reilly's first Spider-Man costume from the comics. A red jumpsuit with a blue sleeveless hoodie with the belt and web shooters on the outside of the costume, which honestly it looks so weird when he wears it. But it really shows that becoming of age vibe where you have to realize that, you know, character, you know, these characters start at a very, very small scale at first. And it's really, really cool. Ant-Man's car's number plate is AMF-1562. AMF is Amazing Fantasy, 15 is the issue number, and 62 is 1962, the year Spider-Man first appeared. Really, really cool. Pictures of Howard Stark, Abraham Erskine, and Bruce Banner can be seen in Peter Parker's school. An hour and 30 minutes, while Happy is overseeing loading the plane with objects from the Avengers Tower, he references Thor's belt, but I'll usually pronounce it as Thor's magic belt. The real name is, the belt is Meginigioro. Just nuts. I couldn't even pronounce it, so you'll have to look. Yeah, really, really cool. And it's very fun there to have this one in this series and where it's fitting in. And I really enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And you haven't noticed already, if I haven't mentioned on Facebook, on Instagram, Cinemaspill has a Facebook now. You know, let that sink in a little bit. Just look up Cinemaspill on Facebook and also on Instagram. And, yeah, I tried to post as much as I can on those. I probably should be posting more, but who cares? But you can reach out to me on Facebook now. Yay. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. And y'all are amazing. You crazy hooligans are amazing. And, until next time, see you at the movies.